Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports, brought to you by the WBO, the World Boxing Organization.
Pedro, let me tell you congratulations on your long time in radio. You are your team and for your ratings, man. I was reading about that. I'm very impressed with you, Pedro.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
I don't want to predict this fight, but, you know, I'm going to promise that I can give a good fight, you know, to make people happy, and I just do my best.
Pedro Fernandez.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another, but I'm going to get the job done.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the multi-multi-million-dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. The man was correct. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, 35, make that 36 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Welcome to Ring Talk. My name is Pedro Fernandez. For the next 2 hours, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 211, and a plethora of other internet platforms, we're going to get down and talk combat sports, both boxing and MMA. Larry Merchant will be here in hour number one. We'll focus a bit in this two-hour show on the greatest of all time. I'm talking about Muhammad Ali. I'll take you back in time to when Ali wasn't boxing, when he was boxing. Ali, just Ali being Ali. We'll have some fun with Muhammad Ali, of course. The reason why I bring him up today is that I think we need a leader. I mean, somebody to step out as far as an athlete's concerned. I'm just not seeing it. I mean, LeBron James is not Muhammad Ali. Anyway, bottom line is we'll spend some time with the greatest today. No doubt about that. Open phone lines all around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. We are live on twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel at Sports Byline USA at twitch.tv, of course. And I will be giving away to my Twitch viewers an autograph. Where is it? It's an autograph picture of Muhammad Ali and myself and a picture of my boxing picture. I'll show you it to you in a little bit. But the bottom line is, watch us on twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Of course, you can also listen to us always at sportsbyline.com and iHeartRadio.com. And, of course, you people in the car, Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 211. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, baby. 2 hours. We're kicking it.
Comes the decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right. The World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
He's recovering from an accident.
That is true. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA, of course, coming to you live from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. A Cuban young man. Guy's name is Morel. I kid you, I was like blown away by it. And I heard about it as an amateur, but I'd never seen him as a pro anyway. He wins the WBA title last night in his third fight. I'm not trying to say it's really, really a big thing, but it is really, really a big thing because in his third fight, but these Cubans can go. There's no doubt about it. I mean, pound for pound, they were the best amateur teams for decades. I mean, they were. I mean, when the United States was on top, Cuba was second. And when Cuba was on top, the United States was second. And now, well, Cuba sort of runs the The Russians are sort of taking over the amateur boxing game. They're hungry. It boils down to hunger now. I mean, the Cubans used to be hungry. Used to be a hungry group. I mean, I went to the island. They didn't look too hungry to me. They look all pretty kicked back and enjoying the internet and stuff, kind of stuff like that. So life is good in Havana. At least it was from my perspective. But, you know, the bottom line is three fights and he wins a world title. Three fights or a WBA title. 3-0, two KOs. Hammered out a 12-round decision over previously unbeaten Lennox Allen. Lennox came in at 22 and zip with a draw and 14 KOs to win the WBA 168-pound title. Now, the guy at 168, I think that really had a lot of talent and potential before he started sniffing cocaine was David Benavidez, of course, the unbeaten WBC champion. He'll be coming on, he'll be fighting in a few weeks. But, you know, the coke thing, I just don't, some guys just never recover from coke. Let me tell you the story of Hector Camacho. Camacho loved that cocaine. That was his thing. Colombian dust was his drug of choice. I mean, every time you would see Camacho, probably after 1985, he was on blow when he wasn't fighting. And sometimes he was on blow when he was fighting. I told you about that time I had to pull him out of that hotel room in San Juan, Puerto Rico, circa 2000, 2001, when we had the main event going on in an arena at about 15 miles away from the hotel, and he wasn't coming. So if he wasn't coming, I wasn't getting paid. So I went back and I dragged his ass basically out of bed and off the table. He was snorting cocaine, I kid you. And before we left, Hector Camacho did this big line of cocaine. He goes, okay, I'm ready. And he went out and he fought WBC, former WBC champion Jorge Vaca, and ended in a first round disqualification. Camacho butted him. The bottom line was he showed up. I got my money. I don't know how I led into that story, but on the line from Southern California is the retired HBO Godfather himself. That's right. You hear his anthem music. That's right. James Brown brings us the Godfather of Soul, brings us the retired HBO Godfather. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Pedro. How goes the battle?
It goes good. How was that dinner yesterday in the backyard? How'd that work out?
It worked out really nice, and my friend brought me something he had found somewhere before the pandemic, which is a collection of New York Times articles from way in the past to the recent past on big boxing events and how they covered it. So that all's well that ends well. I still have that to read.
You know, as esteemed as the New York Times is, and Phil Berger was their boxing writer, but he's the only one I can remember of note that wrote for the Times. The Times just sort of assigned anybody to boxing. Was that the way it was?
No, back in the day, they did have boxing writers, of course, and their columnists covered the big fight, of course. When boxing was a mainstream event, they covered it because New York was the center of the universe in boxing.
Speaking of the center of the universe, when Ed Sullivan was on television, the Ed Sullivan Show Sunday nights was the center of the American universe, no doubt about it, the Beatles and things like that. Did you ever read his column when he was a boxing writer? Do you remember those columns? Were you?
No, I don't. That's really before my time.
I apologize, Godfather.
Not too much has happened before my time.
For those of you who don't know, Ed Sullivan was a guy that he had a few drinks now and then when he went on television. But he had the Sunday Night Show, and it featured people like the Beatles. It was the number one show. But before he was a big-time TV celebrity, he was a boxing writer and then a gossip columnist, I think, for a couple of the New York newspapers. So is it a big thing that a guy named David Morrell could win a WBA title in his third fight because he's a Cuban? We talked about that before, that some of the best Cuban fighters, some of the best amateur fighters can beat some of the best pro fighters over the first three rounds, but not over 12 rounds. This guy did it over 12, so he might be the exception to the rule.
Yeah, a lot of those great Cuban amateur fighters didn't make the transformation into the professional ranks very well. They were Olympic champions and so on, but whether it was some other factors or not, because they were supposed to be boxing for the homeland, when they moved, some of them moved to Miami and other places, and the freedom they had there did not necessarily benefit them as prize fighters.
I can't remember who it is now, but there was one Cuban fighter. I want to say it was Joel Castellanos, but he defected. He was in Brazil at a boxing tournament, and he defected, and he ran up a 15,000 dollar hotel bill, in a month and a half as he was waiting for these Americans to send him some money to come to the United States to defect. Well, they never sent him the money, and they defect. They sent him back to Cuba. So I guess that wasn't too cool. But he defected a second time. No. It was a guy that you don't like, the little tiny guy. I can't think of the little tiny Cuban guy. I can't think of his name right now. But that's who it was. But he defected twice. The first time it wasn't so cool, but the second time he did defect successfully. Teofilo Stevenson. Did you ever meet him?
Yes.
Nice man.
I went to Cuba in around, let me think, it was in the late 60s. Mm-hmm. I was with NBC, and we were going, and we had permission from the government to go down there and to try to do a piece about the Cuban sports revolution. And I went to their to the boxer camp and met Stevenson there, and was kind of surprised because I never thought of boxing as a team sport before. And Stevenson was right in there with everyone else, going through their numbers. But he was an outstanding heavyweight. As an amateur,
I saw Spoon. When I made it to Cuba, he had passed, but I watched a whole lot of specials on him because there was always a speculation of he and Muhammad Ali possibly fighting. But he, after he retired, he drank a lot and he ate a lot and he ballooned himself up to 300 pounds and he died prematurely. But he was Cuba's flag bearer. They gave him a big mansion up on the hill, akin to Fidel Castro.
Well, I was in the mansion. I went to visit him. It was one of those mansions left behind when many Cubans fled to America and I guess other places south of our borders, and hung out with him for a little bit, but I don't remember much of what he said or I said.
Quiet, soft-spoken guy, though, wasn't a loud mouth. And I mean, you know, and you know, I remember what he said, that one thing, and you got to give him a little props for this one, because he said that, you know, all the money in the world wouldn't get him to turn professional and turn his back on the people of Cuba. That's what he felt. So if he felt
that... Well, he was a committed communist, and he was in the sort of a congressman, I guess. And he was... He had that homeland feeling that you just described.
Larry Merchant on Sports Byline.
From the Ed Sullivan Theater on Broadway, The Ed Sullivan Show.
Ed Sullivan ran on CBS television from 1948 to 1971. Some of the most memorable moments of the 1950s and 60s especially were on The Ed Sullivan Show Sunday nights. I kid you not. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing, MMA. On the line from the City of Angels, of course, is a retired HBO godfather, Mr. Hall of Fame himself, Mr. Larry Merchant. And Larry, I'm looking at the calendar. September 12th is getting real close here. Is Canelo Alvarez going to fight? Probably not, huh?
Well, I'm the last guy who will know about it. So I have no clue. You know, I can understand both sides. Mm-hmm. Management says we had this pandemic. We can't possibly pay you the $35 million a fight that we put in a contract. And he says, well, there's nothing about a pandemic in the contract. You got to pay me $35 million. You would hope that cooler heads would prevail and they'd find a way to settle it.
It was supposed to be Callum Smith, the undefeated WBA super middleweight title holder. Of course, now there's two WBA. Godfather, didn't I just mention that David Morrell won the WBA super middleweight title, and yet promoter Eddie Hearn says he has WBA super middleweight champion Callum Smith? The WBA, when I named them the world of bunko and anarchy about 30 years ago, I was spot on.
Yes, you were. Look, all of these splintered bodies that give championship belts, they're just part of the boxing economic system. A title is a way of marketing a fighter. The titles are relatively meaningless. They are important to the fighters, but at the end of the day, it's the fight fans who decide whether someone is a champion and whether they want to follow him.
Interesting. Larry Murch is our guest, of course. We've got some fights coming up in the near future. In September, Danny Garcia is going to be challenging Errol Spence. And if Danny Garcia, like, falls out at the last minute, I wish I could make the weight because I'm willing to take a chance against Errol Spence. Anybody gets thrown out of a car at 95 miles per hour, and I thought that he had neurological damage, especially to that right eye. I said to myself, he's willing to take a chance again. So if Danny Garcia pulls out, Godfather, me or my producer, if we can make the weight, we'll jump in.
I'm sure that everybody is holding their breath until that happens.
That is a lot of, how can I put this? I don't know. I've seen guys react to accidents, car accidents and things like that, and just a normal life and not be the same. So as far as athletics are concerned and being tossed out of a car at 95 miles per hour, that's going to be a bit of a challenge.
Who is this fighter that got tossed out?
Errol Spence.
Errol Spence. Oh, you mean he was in a one-car accident and got thrown out of the car?
Yeah, he turned the car over at 105 miles per hour or something like that, you know, just testing his gas pedal.
Yeah, well, we've seen a lot of athletes, and particularly boxers, who have nothing better to do than ride motorcycles and fast cars. And for some reason, they need it. And we've lost some pretty good fighters who've had those one bike accidents.
James Shuler, 2 days after getting knocked out by Tommy Hearns, got killed in that motorcycle accident, the number one ranked middleweight before he fought Hearns. And, of course, Diego Corrales out of Sacramento, California, the 130-pound champion who lost to Floyd Mayweather and lost a couple of fights. But it's funny is that bringing up Diego Corrales, Godfather, I was talking with Gary Shaw, the promoter, a couple years ago, and he told me that he was under the impression that Diego committed suicide, that he got on that motorcycle with a few drinks intentionally and drove into that intersection intentionally to die. I mean, that was sort of weird. And he said that on the air. I didn't really know how to respond to that. And, you know, like 10 years later, I don't know how to respond to it.
Well, and I don't know how to respond to it. But, you know, the high that a boxing champion feels while he's champion and so on, sometimes meets some lows, and whether it's drugs or fast vehicles, they find a way to get out of the game and sometimes out of their life.
Showtime coming back, take you back it looks like the 15th, the aforementioned David Benavidez, the unbeaten young man from Central California, the WBC super middleweight title holder. I'm going to take on Roman Angulo, but the bottom line is Benavidez has the aforementioned, I mentioned this earlier, the cocaine problems. I watched Hector Camacho from an amateur, and you did too, win the New York Golden Gloves and become the champion, 130 pounds, 135. I mean, just rolled through it. And all on the back burner was his penchant for cocaine. In the end, 5 or 6 years ago when he was shot to death in that car in Puerto Rico? There was cocaine on the dashboard. The lure of Colombian dust, I had really thought that it had went away. I was an ex-cop, and people weren't snorting coke the way that they were, but certain people still are. But how can I put that? Benavidez, he may be headed down the same road as Camacho. Hopefully not. Anyway, what do you think of Benavidez as a fighter, undefeated?
I really don't know. And I'm looking forward to finding out. I didn't follow his career.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to get a look at him.
Okay. Dillian White is the guy that failed about 19 steroid tests. He's going to take on Alexander Povetkin. That's going to go down the 22nd on DAZN. So I guess steroids are legal now. Both these guys will be fighting each other. But they're fighting for something called the WBC Interim Heavyweight Title. Now, the last I looked, Godfather, the world of bunko and chicanery, I'm talking about the WBC, Tyson Fury was their champion. Did I miss something?
Look, this is business. Tyson Fury doesn't need that cockamamie title anymore. And for them, it has some value, and some fighters will want to cash in on that value because the public isn't that informed today to know that these are titles that are just traded like baseball cards.
Good point. August 29th, ESPN, Jose Ramirez, the WBC and WBO champion, taking on Victor Postal. These guys are going at 140 pounds. That should be a pretty good fight on
ESPN. I love Ramirez.
Yeah, he can roll. He can rock. There's no doubt about it. Let's hope he can build a bigger name and make himself some money. Question, Godfather, before I let you go now. If you had a child right now and school started tomorrow, would Larry Merchant and Patricia Merchant be sending their kid to school?
Well, it seems unlikely. I have two grandchildren. One is 6, one is 9. They're in a local school. And it would depend on the procedures and how safe it seemed and how much was done from home and how much is done in school and whether they had the proper distancing and masking and all that good stuff. But the kids do need the socialization that goes along with school, the friendships they make, and so on. So it's a hard call, but I would choose the safe side.
Okay, August 29th, Godfather, I don't know why, but I shouldn't say this. But Fox is going to come back with Arizandy Lara against a guy named Greg Vannetti for a WBA super welterweight title. I thought there was another WBA super welterweight champion. There probably is. And Alfred Angulo is on the card with Sabel Talix. I'll say, you know, I'm looking at the rest of the schedule. Mike Tyson and Roy Jones, an exhibition. Is boxing ever going to be able to get back without a live crowd? I ask you this week in and week out because I'm asking if you change your perspective. Can boxing make, can we do big money fights without a crowd?
You know, it seems unlikely, but if the pandemic goes on long enough, the fighters will, just like ball players and football players and so on, that absence doesn't make the heart fonder or the bank happier. And so they got to get to work.
Okay. Good point. No doubt. Good perspective now. So what are you and the godmama going to do today? You guys got any plans?
Well, we have another beautiful day down here in Santa Monica. Patricia is outside in the back with a friend. And we may have our grandkids come over and jump in the pool. It's their second home, and And like that, I've got work to do. I'm writing an article for Ring Magazine.
That's right. Well, the Godfather is the great-grandfather. I wish you the best. Say hello to the Godmama. We'll talk soon. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Pedro.
The Great Larry Merchant, exclusively on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Woo! It's going to be good.
I like them boss. I like them proud. And when they walk, you know they draw a crowd. See? You got to have a mother for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on. Look here. That one.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
It has been said that I have two alternatives. Either go to jail or go to the army.
I'm only bold and cocky before and after fight.
Let me see you close your mouth and just keep it closed.
Well, you know that's impossible.
No, 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 keep it closed.
You know that's impossible. I'm the greatest. And I'm knocking out all bones. And if you can see tomorrow, I'll knock you out.
Greg Adams and East Bay Soul bring us back from the break. Of course, East Bay Soul, man, what can I say? They're in L.A. now, of course, but a Bay Area, their Bay Area roots. He's from Daly City, California. Greg Adams, check him out. One of the co-founders of Tower of Power. East Bay Soul, they've got two albums out. Check them out at eastbaysoul.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA. Last night, as predicted, didn't I say yesterday this guy, Alexei Oleinik, was going to be like a stand-up stiff, that he was going to fall real good and make Derek Lewis like a monster? Well, that's what happened last night. Derek Lewis, of course, last man to beat Francis Ngannou, who I think really is the monster of the UFC heavyweight division. Anyway, Derek Lewis, the winner last night. TKO, round number two, 21 seconds in. Oleinik, a stand-up kickboxer, a stiff guy. I mean, perfect guy, perfect foil for Derek Lewis, no doubt about that. Now, I think what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to put together Derek Lewis and Francis Ngannou for a rematch. Now, for Mr. Lewis, I hope he makes a lot of money, because Francis Ngannou has improved a lot since that last fight, and he's going to light you up like a White House Christmas tree. And the co-feature, the former world middleweight champion, won a fight. I'm talking about Chris Weidman. Of course, he was a natural. I mean, he was a college NCAA wrestling champion. I remember when he fought the Filipino wrecking machine, Mark Munoz, down there in Santa Clara, California. They had 35 members in the media, and 34 picked Munoz. I picked Weidman. He had never been taken off his feet. You go with the undefeated guy sometimes until he loses. I mean, he hasn't lost yet. And he had never been taken off his feet. So if the guy had never been taken off his feet, what can I say? He's a collegiate wrestling star. That tells me something. Anyway, Weidman was the winner last night over a guy named Omari Akhmedov. It was unanimous, not across the board, three rounds. These guys fought at 185 pounds. Another 185-pound fight. Darren Stewart beat Maki Pielo. That was a submission, a guillotine choke. Got choked out 3 minutes and 41 seconds into the first round. That's got to be a weird way to go. You know, I choked out a bunch of people. I mean, not a bunch of people. As a cop, I probably choked out three or four guys. But I almost came close to choking out this real famed HBO boxing announcer one time when he attacked his wife in Las Vegas. I won't get into names, but believe me, it wasn't the guy we had on a few minutes ago. Okay? Anyway, the chokehold is just, you just know when you slap that baby on, no matter how big they are. I mean, I slapped it on some Samoan dudes out there in Hunters Point that I knew I had no chance fighting when I was a cop. Just grab onto a man, let him roll, and grab that choke and let it go, okay? And guess what? After about 25-30 seconds, it was just really over. But the chokehold is a big thing in the world of mixed martial arts. It just scares the snot out of me, because I never want to be choked to death in my life. Good Lord. Anyway, chicks were fighting last night, meaning females. Don't get upset there. The feminists, the feminazis are going to get on me now for saying chicks. Yana Konakaya defeated Julia Stolenenko. That was unanimous, not across the board. These women were fighting at 135. Outside of that, Tim Means was the winner on the card. Kevin Holland was the winner on the card. Andrew Sanchez was the winner on the card. The card was like ho-hum. I don't want to say B-rated MMA or anything like that, because, you know, there's other B-rated MMA organizations. The UFC really shouldn't be a B-rated organization, not being seeing they were sold for $4.2 billion or $4,200 million like a year and a half ago. Anyway, their inability to produce the big fights, and I'll say it again, their inability to produce the big fights and pimp these guys off and make them work. If you don't want to fight, we're going to strip you this and that. You know, Henry Cejudo gave up two titles, 125 pounds and 135 pounds. I mean, the guy's in the prime of his life. He's on the top of his game. He might be the best fighter pound for pound in the entire world of mixed martial arts. And he walks away from two UFC championships at the same time. What does that tell you? Amanda Nunes, she doesn't want to fight anymore. It looks like the woman that destroyed Ronda Rousey and everybody along the way. I mean, when she took out Chris Cyborg Santos, I thought there should be an asterisk next to that. But the bottom line is, because, you know, Cyborg had to leave Las Vegas 6 days before the fight, or 5 days before the fight, and travel to L.A. in a car, and she was losing weight at the same time. And remember, I used to tell you she comes down from 184 pounds, but, you know, Amanda Nunes cracked her, caught her right on the chin, and knocked her out cold, so there wasn't no debate about that, who won that fight. She was, like, asleep, okay? So Amanda doesn't want to fight. Conor McGregor is like going back and forth saying, you know, I want this, I want that. Do I get a percentage of this? Do I get a percentage of that? John Jones doesn't want to fight. You know, though, I can't blame him. You're going to get mad at me for saying this, some of you, but, you know, the hoes are upset. The hoes don't want to work for the pimp no more. They just don't. They want a different organization. Listen, you can't even wear your own trunks in the UFC. You can't even wear your own. Back in the day, Brendan Schaub, who's a fantastic stand-up comedian. In fact, you can catch him on YouTube.com doing boxing and MMA opinion. He's very opinionated on that, but he's also a stand-up comedian of note. But, you know, he was getting like upwards of like $80,000 to $100,000 for his trainers and himself to wear like Pedro's bail bonds or something like that, a sponsor. And he'd wear a sponsor on his trunks, okay? Like Pedro's bail bonds. Well, I give him $100,000 to put Pedro's bail bonds on there. So he was getting that kind of money. So when the UFC signed that deal with Reebok, they told him you were going to get $8,000. Wait. From 80 to 100 to 8? And I'm supposed to go along with this? Man, Brendan Schaub, he saw a different light. He got out. Well, God bless him, man. I mean, he's making his money at stand-up comedy. In fact, he toured through San Francisco about 6 or 8 months ago. Maybe a year ago, he played the Punchline here in San Francisco, a couple of the other clubs. But bottom line is, Brendan he saw the light. He walked. I think that more guys have got to walk. I think that Dana White's got to be put on the spot. I mean, Dana just can't. You have to commend Dana in some regards. I mean, he's not just a total piece of spit. When I say total piece of spit, I mean spit with an H. I mean, he's not a total piece of spit, okay? But he's relatively close. I mean, you know, paying these guys like $8,000 or $9,000 to go in there and you get destroyed and get knocked out and get 180-day suspensions after that. Imagine that. You fight for somebody, you get knocked out, and you make $9,000-$10,000, maybe $15,000, and after taxes, it's probably about $6,000, okay, if your trainers and all that kind of good stuff. So you fight, you end up making $6,000 out of a $15,000 purse, and then you're knocked out brutally, and you can't fight for 180 days. What does that say about the UFC? And now Dana's not paying guys that, he doesn't want to pay guys that show up. If, get this, the COVID-19, if you show up and you make weight, and the other guy doesn't make weight, you don't get paid. Kind of crap is that? Holy cow. I mean, even the amateurs, when this guy showed up, when guys showed up and they didn't make weights, they gave you the bout. They said the bout was yours. You know, I didn't take too many bouts like that. In fact, I remember a couple of times, showing up at weigh-ins and having guys not be ready or not ready. That Bill Hernandez guy really, back to one guy that really ticked me off. We were supposed to fight at at some big club here in San Francisco, me and Bill Hernandez from Sacramento, California. And I trained my butt off for him, got down to 137 pounds for him, and he didn't show up for the weigh-in. The Olympic Club, the racist Olympic Club. I'll never forget that, though. Bill Hernandez, if you're listening, I'm still gritting my teeth. Anyway, MMA looks like a loser for the rest of the year, of course, except for Miocic and Cormier, and I'm not getting too excited about that one. That's going to go down August 15th at the Apex Center. It's this little arena the UFC set up for themselves in Las Vegas, Nevada. And, of course, later on this year, it'll probably take place somewhere in Asia. Khabib taking on Justin Gaethje for the UFC 155-pound lightweight title, even though he gets into the cage or the octagon at 175 to 180 pounds. Now, hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide today is going to be focused on my buddy, the greatest, Muhammad Ali. In fact, if you're looking at the Twitch TV broadcast right now, I'm holding up a picture of Muhammad Ali, yeah, and myself. It's autographed. And then on the back side of the picture is a picture of me and my prime, my retirement picture. So the bottom line is, if you're watching on Twitch TV and you shoot us a text at 415-275-1613. That's right. Shoot us a text, 415-275-1613, and Scott Cuddy will personally mail you the photographs. That's what he's told me. So you are tuned to Ring Talk Live World. He's looking at me right now in amazement. What? I said that? Yeah, he did. But the bottom line is, we will mail you the photographs, first-class mail, I kid you not. And one more time, there's my ugly mug on the front of it, the back of it. And the back, of course, is Muhammad Ali and myself in, where were we at? Going to Shanghai. From Guangzhou to Shanghai on a train. And that was in 1994, August of 1994, and he signed it for me the next month, October of 1994. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. So saying, I'm trying to keep things a little positive, have a little fun, and just not dog anybody. I mean, there's a couple of people I could dog right now, and I don't want to get into a negative spin on this show, not today. I'm trying to stay positive. So we will go with the Muhammad Ali hour and hour or two. But to tease for that, you got this.
He would come to the gym, and if say he didn't get a ride to the gym, he didn't have no car, he would run. He would run across the causeway.
Muhammad Ali, one of my great heroes, had a great line in the 70s when he was asked, how many sit-ups do you do? He said, I don't count my sit-ups. I only start counting when it starts hurting. When I feel pain, that's when I start counting, because that's when it really counts. That's what makes you a champion.
Jerry, I'm the greatest fighter that ever stepped foot in the ring. Money will be lost that night. This will be the biggest upset in the century of all boxing.
I think you're a big bag of wind. Damnedest showman that ever lived, and you ain't kidding anybody.
The odds are 7-1. It's very big odds for a heavyweight championship fight.
It has to be Liston. Liston is a much bigger puncher.
While these big mouth people talking about I talk too much, well, I want all of them to be there, and I'm going to shut up all of his mouth.
And Cassius Clay has won after 6 rounds, and there's the
champion. Cassius is not my name no more.
You want to keep calling me a white man's name? I'm not white.
Continues to scream at Terrell.
He beat the hell out of those who didn't want to use his name.
Mr. Muhammad Ali has just refused to be inducted into the United States Armed Forces.
I'm just about broke. I'm not allowed to work here now in America.
I'm going to fight not for me, but to uplift my little brothers who are sleeping in concrete floors today in America.
They want to be more famous. They help people. It's a wonderful world.
I'm going to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. George can't hit what his eyes can't see.
All of you chumps are going to bow when I whip him. All of you. I know you got him. I know you got him picked. But the man's in trouble. I'm going to show you how great I am.
Bluffed him. I done everything. Beat him up. Basically, for about 5 or 6 rounds, I thought it was easy. Then about the 6th round, he whispered in my ear after I'd hit him in the side, "That all you got, George?"
When you were a kid, you always bet certain fellas, I'm going to be champion one day. And when I'm champion, I'm going to come back and show you I'm wrong. Another said, guys, I'm going to be a great doctor one day. And I'm going to be a dentist. I'm going to be a great scientist. I'm going to be a president of the country. And but very few people actually are able to make good of the boast and come home and say, "I told you."
Wow, Muhammad Ali telling it like it is, no doubt about that. You know, people do knock you. In fact, I've been knocked. People say to myself, yeah, you think you're too cocky to say. If you don't believe in yourself, I mean, who the hell are you going to, how can you believe anybody else? If you can't believe in yourself, and Ali believed in himself from the beginning, no doubt about that. You know, and he talked there about people on sidewalks, people living on concrete in the United States. Well, that was in the 1960s. Fast forward 50 years, 60 years, there's more people laying on the streets of San Francisco and California as a whole than you can ever imagine. It just blows me away. And yeah, my guy Holmes is back. He's alive. He's a couple of blocks away from the studio. We try to feed him a few times a week. But the bottom line is, there's 1,000 Holmes out there. There's 1,000 Joes out there. Okay, or 1,000,000 Joes out there, if you really want to look at the big picture as far as California is concerned. Everywhere you go, there's somebody laying on the street here. We got to do something. Seriously, we really got to do something. The world is not this mean. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
You're still a young man, baby. Ooh.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Are you serious? Where did he come from?
Some boys from Oakland, California, of course. I'm talking about the Tower of Power there as I choked coming back from the break, drinking some coffee. Way to do it there. Wait until the break ends to drink the coffee and then choke on it. Bottom line is Ryan Garcia and Luke Campbell. Looks like these guys in a battle of WBC is going to put together some type of purse bid for these guys to hook it up in a fight, eventually to determine the WBC lightweight champion. Of course, Ryan Garcia, I think he's a rage right now, no doubt about that. A guy that fought him the last time out, of course, and got knocked out in one round, Francisco Fonseca, now 26-3 with a couple of draws and 20 KOs, got a comeback win, a first-round comeback win in Nicaragua, in his native Nicaragua, get this, over Eusebio Osejo. Guess what Eusebio's record was coming in? 30-24 with 3 draws and 8 knockouts. What do you think Eusebio's record was going out? 30-25 with 3 draws and 8 KOs. Good Lord. I mean, took out a body, got taken out by a body shot. I mean, give Fonseca all kinds of props, I guess, for showing up and fighting, but don't give him all kinds of props for knocking out a guy that was like, you know, 30-25 in the first round. Please. Anyway, Jamal James. They call him Shango, 27-1, 12 KOs, not a big puncher, took a 12-round unanimous decision over Thomas Dwalemy, now 25-4 with a draw and 16 whacks, to claim the WBA interim welterweight title. I thought Earl Spence was a champion. I don't know. It was Saturday night at the Microsoft Theater in Los Angeles, California. Jones seemed to be in command all the way. Scores were 115-113, 116-112, 117-111. So those were the fights on Fox. And, of course, I talked about the Moretti with the Morell win a little bit earlier. Man, that kid, evidently, he's the real deal. 47-5, I think, as an amateur. Now 3-0 as a pro. David Morell Jr., remember that name, 3-0, 2 KOs from Cuba. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide. Check it. 35, make that 36-plus years now. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. This is hour number one on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 211, of course, and 1,000 other internet platforms. Check it out. Hour number two is upcoming. After the news, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, etc. And we will feature a one-hour special. Basically, we're going to talk about Muhammad Ali in depth. So the great is coming up. Hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, right after the news.